You just tuned in to Set for Success with your host, Richard Lannan. But you knew that already, didn't you? We're going to continue our journey to help you create a roadmap to change your business, career, and life. We're going to do this through chatting with one person at a time to uncover people's lives, their business, their journey, their successes, to help you create the success that you deserve. And you do deserve to be successful. I want you to actually stop and say that right now. Now, if you're driving down the road, don't actually physically stop. Just sort of stop and say, I deserve to be successful. And you do. And I don't know what success is for you. Maybe it's having that nice car. Maybe it's that nice house. Maybe it's more of an inward thing, just enjoying your life. It's more of a lifestyle thing. Maybe it's just spending time with your family or building your business. Whatever it is, you deserve to be successful. If you know anything, I love quotes. I always like to start off the show with a Set for Success quote. So here's our quote for today. The reasonable person adapts themselves to the world. The unreasonable one persists in trying to adapt the world to themselves. Therefore, all progress depends on the unreasonable person. And that quote comes from George Bernard Shaw. Now, I don't know if you know who George Bernard Shaw is, but from his assistants, he was always called Bernard Shaw. He was an Irish playwright, critic, and political activist. His influence on Western theater, culture, and politics extends from the 1880s to his death and beyond. And why I say beyond is, I don't know about you, but I remember reading Bernard Shaw when I was in school. And interestingly, when you sort of look at different business books, he's actually quoted in different business books. If you Google or search for operational excellence, guess whose name shows up? Bernard Shaw. I always find that to be interesting, but even though I don't think it's quite his forte. I've always been interested in the way people work. Heck, in my book, Set for Success, I discuss process and productivity as one of those key business impact zones that must be addressed in all organizations. Whether it's learning to become lean or creating efficient approaches to work, or looking at your maturity level of your business and figuring out exactly where you are, your current situation, and determining where it is you need to be a more productive environment. But as a business owner, professionals, and everyday people, we have been aware of those words that impede improvements. But this is always the way we do it. Now, how many times have you heard that? But this is the way we've always done it this way, or this is always the way we've done it. Those are the words that say it's time to be an unreasonable person. Turn on this approach upside down and find a better way of doing your work. Maybe that is what Bernard Shaw meant. A person must be unreasonable in order to create their world of operational excellence for their organization. They must pursue it and not give in to the reasonable world and be a person who just goes along with the way it's always been done. So here's what we're going to do today. As I gave the show some thought, I wonder who could come and share their business ideas, their career, and their operational excellence thinking. Someone who's been around, explored the world, and focused on building a career in making business better. So I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome James Blaze to the show today.
Hi, Richard.
It's nice to have you here, James.
Thank you.
We've actually hung out previously on the show and also in some business stuff, too. So our paths have crossed several times.
Yes, they have.
They have. So, James, why don't we start off in the space of just telling us a little bit about yourself. Let's give the listeners a little bit about your background and stuff, because you do have quite the background there.
Sure. Yeah, I suppose I'm your typical generalist, if you will do. So, essentially, I started out going to school here in Winnipeg, did University of Winnipeg degree. Moved abroad, lived in the UK for about 10 years, grew a startup business there from very small beginnings to a large retail chain, came back and worked in sales and marketing at an accounting firm, did consulting for several years, and then most recently, I was general manager of a food processor. And right now, I'm doing some consulting on the side.
Yeah, and if I understand correctly, your forte is sort of around that operational excellence and innovation. Is that correct, or would you express it another way?
Well, I tend to look at business results.
Okay.
So the way I kind of think of it, especially for a manufacturer or processor, you need to be very good at what you do, and really that's operational excellence. Particularly if you're trying to grow, right? So we're trying to grow revenues, grow into new markets. And as a starting point, we wanted to become really strong on our operations and our production to support that growth. because there's nothing worse than you're adding top line and you're actually losing on the bottom line.
Yeah, I often say to clients that the whole idea of cost, productivity, increased sales, and bottom line revenue, they don't always play nicely together. No. And I think a lot of times people think that you can decrease costs, increase your productivity, increase your sales, and increase your revenue, and that's not always the case.
No, it's not. It's and there's definitely investments to be made,
sure.
Right? And
sure.
Trying to increase productivity, like in about the course of a year, we saw a 75% increase in our efficiency, but that was all step changes. So we'd make an adjustment, kind of put it to bed and realize a slight uptick, and then we'd make our next adjustment. But clearly you can't change everything all at once. So it was incremental changes that slowly built and made improvements, some of which we could kind of figure out going in, and some of which through the course of looking much harder at what we were doing and how we could improve, we discovered new opportunities.
So with that thought, I want to roll back a little bit.
Okay.
Because you didn't sort of learn how to do this, you know, today. This is something that you've learned, a skill set that you've actually acquired over time. And I know we're going to touch more into manufacturing and processing stuff maybe a little bit later on the show. But if we were to go back in time, what was the real thing that hit home for you that sort of said, ah, you know what, I really understand this and this is what I like about business?
Wow, that's a big question.
It is a big question.
So yeah, I think, you know, going through university and just I suppose working with different people and sort of learning about different businesses, providing that, you know, you're working in a part-time job, and I don't know, I just always knew that I wanted to be in business, and I didn't actually necessarily know what.
Sure.
And so it's taken a few years of bumping around to figure that out, but kind of, I suppose, creating things sort of exciting customers.
Yeah. Right? And that to me makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's similar how your paths are, and I think a lot of people can relate to this path, whether we get into strategic planning or sales and marketing or operational effectiveness and efficiency or human resources. We might have bumped around a little bit in our careers first before we really learn that thing that we understand how to do. And in your case, it probably sounds like, you know, understanding how to achieve business results to actually making key improvements in the operational efficiency of an organization.
Yeah, and I think like so much it's, a path is rarely linear.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think what's really interesting, especially as a consultant, you see a lot of different businesses and a lot of different ways of doing things, but a lot of that is transferable.
Mm.
Right? And especially if you look at business models, you could have two airlines. So take Air Canada and Southwest, for example, right? And Southwest has really picked a niche, excels at what they do within that niche, no interest anywhere else. Air Canada seems far more generalist.
Yeah, broader.
Right,
broader.
Yeah, they're trying to do a little bit for everybody, and so it kind of takes them quite far.
So this is what we'll do. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about how to create efficiency with an organization.
Okay.
This is Richard for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm hanging out with James Blaze, and we're talking about this something that's quite important to business and operational efficiency, and we'll probably start to tie in innovation a little bit later on. Just before the break, James, I sort of said to you, well, you know what? Why don't you tell us about the whole idea of creating a more productive business environment? I suspect that you have some key terms or ideas that you use when you're working either in with clients, right, as a consultant, and or as you been worked previously in companies in the various positions that you've held?
Yeah, I think as a starting point, you want to have a pretty clear picture where the company is going. So whether you call it a roadmap or a strategy, but where is the ship headed, right? And then I think you want to share that with your team. because you want everybody rowing roughly in the same direction. And I know that sounds obvious, except that it doesn't always happen, right? We have that fallacy of we think it's clear to everybody because we know it, but we might not be sharing it in depth enough for them.
You know, I was at a meeting one time, and it was a workshop with a whole group of CEOs, right? And so these are all CEOs, executives now of various companies in our business environment. And I think there was probably about 70 of us or so in the room. And so we were broken up in the rooms, about five executives each. And we had to portray, act out, each team, what was important in our business. And one of the most fascinating teams was this group of CEOs. They all pretended they got in a boat and started rowing in the same direction. And you know what? I have never forgotten that. I've looked at that, and I've always keep that with me, that image of these people, you know, who are running companies, identifying right at the top that, you know what, we need people rowing in the same direction. And you just supported that again.
Yeah, no, I think it's critical. And, you know, not only that your team knows where they're going, but how do they know if they've had a good day? Right. So that was one of the things we talked to our production staff about. How do you know if you've done a great job today, if you've rocked it, or, you know, if we haven't had such a great day? And it was kind of scary because at first they said, well, I don't know. And then we started measuring things a little bit more. And sort of providing some numbers for them.
And I suspect that when you use the word measure, it's almost like the saying in real estate is what? Location, location, location. And operational efficiency is probably measure, measure, measure.
Yeah, if you're not measuring, it's a hobby.
It's a hobby. One of my friends, when we only had one kid, my friend said to us, you know, one kid's a hobby and two kids is a family. So, right. Yeah, anyway, yeah. I don't know if that's true or not. But anyway.
Yeah, no, I think...
Anyway, go ahead.
You know, when it comes to efficiency, so Toyota says it best.
Yes.
And their whole line is that a problem is a difference between the standard and the actual result. So inherent in that is if you don't have a standard, you don't have a problem. And so the good news was we didn't have lots of problems when I started at the food processor because we weren't measuring a lot.
Yeah.
And then as we started to, you know, develop a few KPIs and, you know, you don't...
Key performance indicators.
Yeah. You don't want to have too many because, again, you and your team, you want to actually do stuff with them. Right. So if you have 500, it's not going to work.
It's too much.
Right. Think of your car.
Yeah. Interesting that you would actually say that. And that's good advice. I was doing a meeting with a CEO and a president and VP team one time, and they actually looked at me and said, you know, Richard, we're not sure which KPIs we should have.
Sure.
Right. Because they had tons. Like having KPIs was not an issue. Which ones were the most valuable?
Well, and I'm going to mess with you now.
Okay, go ahead. Most people do.
I think they change over time.
Yes, they do.
Right? Yeah. So, and here's an example. We were doing 100% on-time delivery. Great. But so, you know, clearly we'd kind of crossed that one off. It almost became table stakes, an expectation. So then we started measuring order to ship time. Right. So when an order came in, how long did it take us to build it and kick it out the door? And we wanted to be aiming around 2 weeks as we had been for, and we started achieving that. But so, you know, we started off with an easier thing to measure and an easier target. And then as we got comfortable and were able to achieve that regularly, we then notched it up and stretched ourselves some more. But if you're not pushing, you're not improving.
Yeah. And I find it interesting. You said you were, you know, I think it was, order to ship time was the one you used. That would, to me, would sound like it would probably be a very common one in a manufacturing organization or processing organization in the sense that you're building something and you got to get there, right?
So getting the metric isn't always easy because, okay. Right, where do you count the order? If people are placing the order early, right? So they're giving you a month's worth of orders. When are you starting the clock on that particular item. Some of them. So anyways, it just, it was a bit messy to actually calculate, at least for us. So we, you know, kind of took our best guess on the information, or kind of washed the information and used it. It wasn't perfect, but I'm not looking for perfection. I just want to be running the business.
You want to be able to, yeah.
And improving it,
yeah,
right?
So you want to try to get the number to the point as a key performance indicator that it makes sense to the business and you can use it to create improvements.
Yeah.
And with some room for error.
Yeah, this isn't a business case study. We're not writing a research paper.
No.
We're running a business. We want results.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, with the KPIs, you start with them. And if they're not measuring the right things, or it's not giving you the kind of information you want, then you can change them, adjust them, right? Just like we did with the on-time deliveries.
Maybe what we can do is we'll take a short break. When we come back, you can tell us a little bit more about using key performance indicators as measurements to improve your processing business.
Great.
This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, all. Have you ever thought about your business from a perspective of measuring everything, your key performance indicators, and in what way you're making improvements in your organization? Whether you're an administrative assistant working at your desk, or you're working in a factory floor and or processing floor and you're trying to make improvements there. To me, I think basically these are the things that businesses look for and organizations look for. And that's why James Blaze and I are talking about this today. And just before the break, we were talking about the importance of KPIs and the idea of measuring. So James, I want to continue on that sort of theme. Of maybe you could talk a little bit about efficiency and effectiveness in terms of using KPIs to understand your business.
Yeah. So again, I think... I use a lot of sports analyses.
Sports analogies are good.
Business, right? Not that I can play or have any sort of coordination whatsoever, but, you know, so nobody would ever play a sport and not keep score.
Yeah.
Right? Or get the score at the end of the game. So why do we do that in business?
Yeah, right. And it's interesting you would say that because leading indicators versus lagging indicators, and often... and I work with clients, and you know this, I'll get the lagging indicators.
Sure.
Oh, Richard, this is how our year was. Doesn't tell me anything about how they got there, right? Anyway, yeah. Go ahead. Sorry, it's
it's fine. So I'm thinking we had a big board where the production team managed a few key metrics. And part of the idea was then they didn't need me coming down to tell them, right, this is how we're doing. They could see for themselves. So back to the whole idea, we can tell if we've had a good day or not.
Yeah.
And in fact, the guy who was in charge of marking up the board, if he got behind on it, he'd get stick. So people were clearly looking at it, which was great. It was great. It was a nice communication hub for the team. Everybody knew how we were doing. So we track things like the on-time delivery, machine downtime, if we were on target for our production schedule, safety, and if we'd had any issues there. So one of the interesting things was I was really excited because we had a lot of green on the board, right?
Green's a good color?
Green tick marks, right? Okay. So we essentially used a stoplight method, green, yellow, red. Because again, I just want simplicity. I want people to be able to see it and get it. At a glance, you know, I'm for production workers, I'm not hiring accounting degrees. So it has to be really simple to understand because nobody wants to spend too much time on it. But so what was interesting was actually we were working with an efficiency consultant and he was saying, actually, you've got too much green. You're too much in your comfort zone. You need to be pushing out to a little bit more, being a little more aggressive, getting a couple more yellows. So that was interesting, right? And again, it's the yay, we're really good. We've hit a point, but then you're sort of at a plateau and you have to change things up again. And so on our whole efficiency journey, it was all these step changes where we'd make an adjustment, we'd hit the plateau, and then we'd have to find other changes to reach the next plateau. But right,
so you're always
to keep pushing.
Yeah, and I think that maybe falls under the category of continuous improvement or continuous process improvement through measurement.
For sure, yeah. And so it's continuous improvement is funny because, right, you're always pushing for more, for trying to change things, but you always want to take that moment to sort of celebrate the success that you've achieved.
Sure.
And recognize, wow, look behind you a little bit and go, holy smokes, look how far we've come. But we're not at the top of the mountain yet, and we may never be, but let's keep climbing.
Yeah. And then I like that whole idea of you have these key performance indicators and you have a board that you have them on and you're using the stop light approach, right? Green, yellow, red makes a lot of sense. But then the whole concept, I think this is a great lesson learned for our listeners. The whole idea that when you have too much green, you could be looking at the wrong KPIs, yep. Right? Or B, it means that you need to change your KPI in some way. So what was 4 weeks now needs to be 3.5 weeks, you know, or 3 weeks. And then what do you need to change? And maybe this is the question for you then. What did you learn that needed to change in the production process to allow for that change in the KPI that needed to be made? Or change in the KPI, what had to change in the production process? Can you speak to that at all?
Yeah, I can. So there was a lot of process change.
Sure.
And so
that's what I'm thinking, right?
Yeah. You know, part of the challenge is always you're looking at this big beastie and you're saying to yourself, where the heck do I start? And so good news for everybody, I have an answer. We mapped out the process step by step, what we did. We found holes and we used the old 80-20 rule. So the biggest holes or the most significant ones were where we started. And you just kind of chip away and try to refine things. The really neat thing is mapping out your process. So value stream mapping,
if you will, state, do,
is... It works front of house as well as back of house, right? So we started back of house because that's where we had the most issues. But we used it front of house to cut down receiving payments from clients from 1.5 days to about two hours. And it was just, again, we looked at all the steps in the process. It was overly complicated. It depended on triggers that it didn't need to. We eliminated a bunch of steps. We reorganized a few. And we just made it a much smoother experience. So the way I tended to look at it with the guys was, if there are things that are causing you headaches, those are probably places that we want to start to look at, because we don't want to have headaches continuously. If you want to grow your company, continuing to fight the same fires over and over again is just going to make that growth that much harder and slow you down.
Yeah, and it's interesting you would speak about continually, we'll get into about growing your company in a moment, but continually fighting the same fire over and over and over again. One of the challenges that I see, and maybe we can speak about this in the next segment a little bit too, is that two things, right? One is that businesses get so busy that they don't pay attention to the way they do their work. Right. Mm-hmm. And so they're always fighting the same fires. They get stuck in that sort of looper cycle. And the second thing is most businesses that I know of, they generally want to grow. They want to scale their business. And by the sounds of it, from just speaking to you, even, you know, on mic and off mic, is that by looking at your process improvement areas, it's an opportunity to scale your business. So maybe that's what we'll do. When we come back, we'll talk about how you can use this to scale your business so that you can grow for a better future. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll come right back. Hello and welcome back. I've been hanging out with James Blaze, and we've been talking a little bit about, well, totally talking about actually process improvement, creating efficiency, the idea of measuring key performance indicators for your business, mapping from the front end to the back end to create key improvements. But one of the interesting things from the last segment that we started to talk a little bit about was the whole concept of scaling and scaling your business. And I think really when we're talking, James, about scaling your business, we're talking about growing your business. Is that what we're talking about?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what does that mean?
Sure. Yeah. So Scaling is, you know, if you look strategically trying to grow. And so for me, one of the things when I'm trying to grow my business is looking at how am I creating that capacity? So if I'm going to grow and I'm making more product and selling more product, whatever that is, how am I going to do that? And so starting with being more efficient allows me to typically ship the product faster, make more within my existing framework, right? And then I can look at adding staff and adding equipment depending on how much I'm growing.
It's interesting you would actually say that, because I've watched people take like almost operational or project management approach sometimes, and they'll have a problem. The problem is that they got to put out more product, and they'll hire more people. And what they discover is they become less efficient than more efficient. And then they can't figure out why they're not getting as much done, even though they've brought additional resources on.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you can have people starting to get in each other's road. There's the whole learning curve. You know, is it clear what they need to be doing? Like, there's all sorts of issues. And so again, yeah, if you want to grow, and we go back to our previous segment about roadmaps and strategy, how are we growing? But certainly every international distributor I've talked to, one of the key things they wanted to know is, okay, great, if I'm going to buy however many containers from you a month, can you do that? How's that going to work, right? So, you know, price is always a factor, but consistency, speed of delivery, quality, like there's lots of different things that go into your sales discussions that tie back to your growth, right?
Now, you've done some work in the international world of in the processing business to try to figure out how to actually take a business and scale it into the international scene. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So first point I'll make is, I'm not sure if everybody's aware, but the government of Canada has trade commissioners, both here in Canada, but more specifically all around the world. They're a great resource. They're my favorite place. They're free. but you know what? Really amazing team. We had some of the people in China who were making connections for us, some of the people in Mexico who were sending opportunities to us. So they're really keen to help you grow. So
that's their job, isn't it? It's like it's basically to support and promote Canadian business on an international scale.
It really is. So the important thing is, you know, because they're a free service, they kind of want to know that you're in the game and you're not just, you know, kicking tires and seeing what's there, right? But if you're serious about entering a market, and I think you can, you know, I tend to like focus. Right. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to get excited by all these opportunities and dabble here and there and be a jet setter where you're doing like six countries in 6 days. But are you getting anywhere? And there's a cost to being in all those different countries. So pick one or two, focus, get some really good wins, and then move on. But ultimately, you're trying to grow that top line and most importantly, trying to grow the bottom line.
Yeah, this
so
is important.
Dancing around all over the place does not help your bottom line.
It's almost like the sort of scattered approach, right? I'm going to throw it at the wall and see what sticks. And if it doesn't fall off the wall, it's a good day. And for small business Canada, that's not a good approach.
No. Right, you're too many irons in the fire. Mm. It's easy to kind of muddle things. And certainly as you go abroad, you have to make a number of changes, right? Whether it's to your website or to labeling, or because the buyers are different and you have to adjust for that. And it's just to kind of loop back to, we were talking about KPIs before.
Yeah.
So the important thing for me as we're, you know, dealing with people in China and we'd make trips, you're still having to run the business. So if you have good KPIs in place, it allows you to keep a really good eye on what's going on in the business while you're not physically there.
Yeah. And it's interesting you would make that statement, because I often refer to it, you have a choice, you work in your business or work on your business. In order to work on your business, I'm just going to support it in a different way that you said you actually have to have some kind of measurement, some kind of yardstick in place so that you know things are still moving forward, that the business is still going to operate when you're away working on scaling your business.
Yeah, I tend to think about it from a desert island perspective.
Okay, another analogy, good.
Yeah, you know, if I was stuck on a desert island and somebody is dropping me a sheet of paper, you know, to kind of say, here's how the business is doing, what do I need to have on there? What are just the couple of key things that tells me that the health of the business and that trigger any kind of questions or conversations that I might need to have? But again, right, you're in a different time zone. You're trying to do things. You just want to have a look and go, everything's running, or, this area seems to be having some problems. I'm going to poke a little bit and see what's going on. But yeah, it allows you to kind of keep things running. And again, if the team is able to self-manage to a large degree, right, so they know if they're having good days, the expectation is clear, the strategy is clear, they can manage themselves, and it frees you to go be that strategic growth engine. So it's funny, it all kind of ties together. And it's just, again, working on the business allows you to achieve that growth. But you have to put those key parts in place. You have to have those measurements and give your team that little bit of independence so that you can be freed to go continue to scale up.
Makes a lot of sense, actually. Makes a lot of sense. I've been monitoring a little bit on the internet. I know some of your work, and I know there's many ways to connect with people. I wanted to mention that I really like some of the stuff that you're doing on LinkedIn right now. It seems to be your space that you like to work in or be part of, referencing certain material and books and things like this. If somebody wanted to connect with you, what's the best way they could connect with you?
For sure, yeah. So I love having great discussions on LinkedIn. So fairly public profile, just James Blase, B-L-A-S-E, cunningly here in Winnipeg. So drop me a line if you have questions or comments or you want to dig into things. I'm reading some great books right now. I finished one on strategy that was fantastic. And I'm reading the new one from Marcus Buckingham about how we structure work and lead teams. So trying to post some notes on those, and I'd be very interested to engage with people in a conversation.
Sure. What a great show. I mean, you're awesome guests. I appreciate you sharing all your information and everything. James, if you had a final thought, 10 to 15 seconds or so, I always like to give the timing for our listeners. What would that be?
Sure. Conscious decisions. So pick your spots, focus, and just execute on a few areas. Don't try to do everything everywhere. Conscious decisions to really focus and go deep.
Makes a lot of sense. James, again, thank you for hanging out with me today. Listeners, always enjoy tuning in and listening, so thank you for joining me. And of course, if you have any questions, an idea, or thought about the show, just send me an email at richard@setforsuccess.ca. Again, that's richard@setforsuccess.ca. And remember to do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.